The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome. Welcome, everybody. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about generosity. That is, it's the same idea, right, as loving kindness. It's this movement towards supporting others. It's a movement of giving. It's a movement of openness. It's a movement of caring for others in some kind of way. That is, that when we're generous or when we are acting that way, it's as if we're, in some ways, we're kind of saying, here, I would like you to have this opportunity to do something that perhaps you wouldn't otherwise be able to do, or I want to enable you to do X, Y, Z. I want to support you, or whatever it is, or I want to give you this so that, which may support you, or maybe it will just cause like a warm-heartedness in the person that receives a gift that maybe is nothing other than a gift, without in particular utility or something like that, just the gift for that sense of gift. But the sentiment, the movement behind that, of this giving, is the same type of movement as in loving kindness. That is, it's the opposite of I want to get something. It's the opposite of give me, give me, give me. It's more like give, give, give. And this, if we're sensitive to it, we can feel this in the body. I often am speaking with my hands, and I'm noticing that I'm kind of like leaning forward and moving my hands forward too, when I'm kind of like this giving, as opposed to what can I get, give me. And I notice that like my shoulders go up a little bit, and I kind of have this more of a closed in posture. And to be sure, there are times when we need support, and we need people to, or others to support us in some type of way. And it's appropriate for us to be receiving and to be, and to get, quote unquote, when we're suffering in some deep kind of way, or in, I mean, obvious ways are physical pain or, you know, illness or something like that. But also, you know, emotional pain and psychological pain. There may be times in which we don't have a lot of capacity to give. But there's actually been quite a few, I shouldn't say quite a few, I don't know how many. I do know that there's been research on that this act of generosity is a great way to help with a feeling of depression or anxiety, partly because it opens us up a little bit, that often when we're in great difficulties, there's a collapsing of our world, of our experience, and this giving kind of opens it up and helps us connect with others. So generosity can be expressed in different ways. Some of the obvious ones are like material generosity, to give with money or possessions or gifts, physical objects. But of course, there's non-material generosity, where we give our time, we share our knowledge, we maybe share things like gratitude or forgiveness, or giving somebody the benefit of the doubt, those types of things. And it might be interesting to see where you are more or less generous, just as an exercise to learn a little bit more about yourself. That is, are there some areas that you're more apt to be generous than others? Maybe you're more apt to give people your time and energy, but not so much money or objects. Or maybe it depends on the situation or who it is or something like that. But it could be worthwhile to see where are the places where we feel like there's some openness and movement or spaciousness or movement forward and movement towards others? And where are some places where we feel less of that movement and openness? So, of course, there's this relationship between generosity and loving kindness. And there's the same inquiry that we want to, we can investigate with loving kindness to see where it might be easy for us to do some loving kindness and where it's not so easy. But one thing maybe that's I want to point out is with loving kindness practice, the expectation is that it's not easy everywhere. That's why we practice. And my experience has been is that if we start with loving kindness practice where it is easy, probably the same with generosity too, that it just naturally grows. Our capacity grows and our loving kindness and our generosity grows to touch the lives of more and more people, or makes it easier in our minds when we're imagining different types of people. Our heart stays open as opposed to maybe shutting down. And I would say that this giving to others, whether it's material things or immaterial things, isn't really generosity unless it's done in the service of love, unless it's done in the service of goodness. Wanting others to thrive, wanting others to be happy or healthy or safe or to live without, to live with ease. And generosity and metta both share this wish to kind of expand the circle for which we are offering goodwill and which we are generous in all kinds and any ways, always. So I offer this as a way to just maybe have this awareness, this gentle inquiry, exploration of the relationship between generosity and loving kindness, and a recognition that they really can support one another, and a recognition that maybe in some ways they're not really different. But for you to explore for yourself, what is your experience? What is your ideas? What are your beliefs about generosity and loving kindness? And whichever way we understand it and whichever way we do it and to whomever we do this, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, both generosity and goodwill. And it's worthwhile for us to cultivate it so that we have access to it more readily. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. I like that those of you who have been here before know that when I say, okay, with that as an introduction, and then some of you move, get into your meditation posture, I love it. And we'll just be arrive feeling into the body. What does it feel like to be here now, having this experience right now? You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Just feel into the experience of being present. That is to sit and know you're sitting. We don't need to notice anything in particular, just the experience of sitting here. It might be some aches and pains or areas of tension or compelling, becoming evident. Can you, in a warm-hearted, gentle way, offer your attention to those areas in a way that holds them? Not so much that it's going to fix them. Maybe the tension, the pain stays exactly the same. But as best you can you in some kind of way acknowledge, yes, I see you. And use wisdom with your body. If it feels like you're injuring or harming yourself, of course. Do what you need to take care of yourself. We'll do a little bit of a body scan here. Bring your awareness to the face where we often hold tension, around the eyes, around the jaw. Maybe even the neck. It can be nice to lower the chin just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, a really small amount. Kind of like tuck the chin so that there's a little bit more space in the back of the neck. Allow the shoulder blades to slide down the back, away from the ears. Just checking in with the upper back, the lower back, the chest. Just seeing if there's a way in which the chest can comfortably, very comfortably, just be a tiny bit more open. Nothing artificial or strained, just maybe a little bit more open. And the belly, allowing the belly to relax. Upper legs, lower legs, and feet. Upper arms, lower arms, and hands. Have fun with the sensations in the hands. Chances are there's a number of different sensations. Just explore, experience. Might be warmth or coolness. Maybe you feel what the hands are resting on. Rough or smooth, or maybe you're not even sure. As well as the inner experience of the hands. Maybe some tingling or throbbing. Pulsing, maybe. And in the same way, just very gently bring awareness to the sensations of breathing. That is the movement of the abdomen or the chest. Or maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. And we'll hang out here just for a little bit, just feeling the movement. Maybe it's stretching or pulling, the movements that are associated with breathing. This practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can be a refuge, can be an alternative to loving kindness practice. If ever it feels like loving kindness is overwhelming or not quite right, you can always come back here. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, somebody for whom it's easy to feel care, warmth, generosity toward, goodwill, benevolence, love. Bring to mind somebody with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. Some people like to imagine kittens, puppies, or babies. Some people bring to mind a spiritual leader or somebody who inspires them and has touched their heart. And some people choose an individual that they have a relationship with. I find it's helpful to just use the first being that comes to mind. It doesn't have to be perfect. And to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, have this being in mind and silently repeat to ourselves these phrases. Similarly to mindfulness of breathing, where we return the mind to the breath, the phrases use a similar function. And we bring the mind back to the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to modify the phrases. If there are words that are more resonant with your heart, make more sense for you. One guideline is to keep it simple, not too complicated. Maybe refreshing the image of the lovable being. And checking in with the body, seeing if there are any experiences, a little bit of softness or warmth or opening. This may not be your dominant experience. It may just be a little corner of your experience. That's okay. You may not feel anything in particular. That's okay too. But if you do feel some warmth or softness, openness, spaciousness, allow that experience to get as big as it would like. The key word here is allow, as opposed to make it to get bigger or something. And then coming back to the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allow yourself to drink from any feeling of warm-heartedness or goodwill, or maybe it's a vague feeling of well-being or openness. Allow yourself to drink it up. Be supported, nurtured, nourished. This is a big part of loving kindness practice, is feeding our hearts in some kind of way. And to maybe marinate or drink up the experience of loving kindness to whatever extent you're experiencing it. It can be a way in which we care for ourselves. And building on that, we can extend the loving kindness specifically to ourselves. Bring in a felt sense of what it's like to sit here right now, or a visual image of ourselves. Some people like to do an image of themselves as a child, even a young child. Some people like to do it now, how they are now. Whatever feels accessible for you and uncomplicated. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Maybe dipping into the sensations in the body as a support for loving kindness for yourself. Dipping into sensations of warmth or ease. Again, it's perfectly fine if that's not clear to you, not available to you, that's perfectly fine. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then can we extend or expand our loving kindness a little bit further to include somebody that we don't know, somebody we don't have a relationship with? This might be the mail carrier. This might be a person that walks their dog down your street that you see regularly. Might be the neighbors that you see on occasion mowing their lawn. Can we extend a warm-heartedness, goodwill, towards somebody we don't know? Bringing them to mind. You can say the phrases for them. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Yeah. So loving kindness practice is something that we can cultivate. We can create these grooves in the mind. And that makes it easier, more accessible in all situations of our lives. And I once heard a Dharma teacher say that act with generosity every single time there's an opportunity. Just be generous whenever there's an opportunity at the grocery store, when it's, would you like to donate $1 to the something fund or whatever it might be. And so I've been practicing with this, being generous whenever the opportunity shows up. And I find that it's really touches my heart, actually. To be generous in this way. I'm not saying that you all have to be that, but the exploration is maybe what is for you, what is the connection between generosity and loving kindness? Are they the same? Are they different? Are different types of generosity go with loving kindness? Maybe different types of people you can be generous with, or maybe not have loving kindness with, or you know, this could be a rich exploration to gain some greater understanding of yourself and how you move through the world. So I'd encourage you to kind of explore this in conversation with a few other people, not that you have to find the exact answers, but more often that when we're speaking out loud, sometimes we find the edges of our understanding. So when you're not the one that's speaking, you can do some deep listening for the other members in the group. And I'll put you in groups where there'll be three or four people, and we won't have a lot of time. So maybe 11 minutes. And so please don't give each other advice or tell people what to do. This is more an opportunity for us to explore our own experience or understandings. So you can talk about this relationship between generosity and loving kindness, or you can talk about what that experience was like for you, that loving kindness meditation and whatever came up or whatever you'd like to share with that. So two different things that you're welcome to explore. And I'll kind of put you in the rooms now. So have fun. Okay, so welcome back. We just have a few minutes. Would anybody like to make a comment or share how that was, or any new ideas or experience or something they'd like to share? Oh, Trudy, yes, you have your hand up.
Yes, I was in a group of two, and it seemed like when we started that there'd be a little time each, and that would be it. But we had several opportunities to go back and forth, and it was quite lovely.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice, I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, I saw that. People were initially in groups of three or four, but some people, I guess, don't like to be in the breakout rooms. So then they just leave Zoom. But I don't know who that's going to be that's going to leave. So great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And Neil, I see that you have your hand up too.
Yeah, I just I'm really glad that I can be in Redwood City now, after a year, and be with some people that I know, and and also that I can be unhappy. It always feels like this warm blanket, you know, and I always fall asleep during meditation and feel safe doing that. And which is like a practice in itself. It's actually been healing to fall asleep during meditation, during retreat at IRC and stuff too. And actually felt like generosity towards myself to allow that, you know, especially it's whatever, 9-10 o'clock here. But, I also really appreciate always breaking into groups and sometimes it's like normal conversation and sometimes it's just like this heart connection that I really appreciate. Mm. So nice. Thank you.
Yes. And it's nice to see you, Neil. It's nice to see you.
Yes.
It's good to see you. Hi, Morgan.
Yes. Morgan's waving.
It's so good to see you. I can't believe that's you. I just chatted you. I was like, oh my gosh, hi, Neil.
So maybe I'll unmute us all and we'll say goodbye in kind of a messy, raucous way, but in a way to kind of wish all of us a good rest of the evening, whether we're here on the West Coast or in Phoenix or over out on the East Coast, and may we all have safety, happiness, health, and ease. Okay, so here's the unmuting. Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you, Diana. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Love you, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Welcome back, Neil.
Thank
you. Still out there? Are you still out there?
I'm still out here.
The Happy Valley?
No, I'm in Boston. Is that the Happy Valley? Yeah. Yeah.
Liz is in the Happy Valley.
Here. Oh.
Yeah.
Nice, right? Nice way to kind of reconnect.
Yes.
Super nice. I love the Sangha.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And our Sangha is growing, right? To the people that join us here on Happy Hour who've never even been here in Redwood City. Kim's nodding her head right up there in British Columbia. But you were just saying, Kim, right? How you feel like your kind of Sangha is growing by participating here. Yeah. Okay. So I wish you all a wonderful evening.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
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 Good night.
Good night.